Hey everyone, I'm Tima from Shades and Pages, and welcome to Brazenly Shady, your ticket to hot and unfiltered conversations about all things Black romance. Tap in, everybody. We're about to take y'all on a ride.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Brazenly Shady. I'm Sharonda N.
And I'm Shades and Pages, and I have my hater blockers on tonight. Reporting to you live from Oklahoma City.
Not the hater blockers, but we gonna get into it. Okay, but what you been calling me all week?
This is what I wear when Judas is in the vicinity, okay? Unhand me, you traitor.
Unhand me, you scoundrel. Unhand me.
Thank you very much.
Anyway, y'all. So today, we're going to be talking about a book that Miss Shades and Pages recommended that I read. And because the outcome was not what she wanted.
That ain't what it was. Okay, that is not what it was. This book has been burning up the charts. You understand? Okay. Everybody been feeling this book. So I feel like we wouldn't be the noble bitches that we are if we don't come and discuss this book, okay?
We're discussing it now.
So buckle up, okay? We're about to go in and just, you know, vibe with,
As always, just vibe with us.
We're just trying to see, you know, what the vibe is when it comes to this book. We're trying to figure that out, okay?
Just vibe as
well. So we hope you enjoy this.
So in your way, we're going to be talking about Captivated by Danger by Miss India Carter.
Yes, okay? And this is book two in
Is it a series?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a series. I don't know if she really categorized it as a series, but I know this is book two. In the Danger, I'll call it the Danger series. I don't know if that's what she categorized it as, and if it's not, I'm sorry. But it's the Danger series now. Book one was about the youngest brother, Diamond.
Yes.
And this book is about Diesel now. I read this book. I wanted to read this book because he captivated me in book one. He just had this mysterious aura that I wanted to get to know. More so wanted to get in his pants. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're here today. So this is book two.
Okay, I agree. Well, I didn't read book one, but I definitely did read this book. And I agree 100%. I wanted to get in his pants too. You know, just read, Just wanted to reach down there. He was a very likable character for me, but we're gonna have a little structure here. We're gonna do us, but we're gonna try to have a little structure here. You know, we ain't gonna always lead you hoes astray, but
We're gonna lead y'all astray every time. And you put my hater blockers on, hater blockers back on. We're gonna lead y'all astray every time. Don't listen to Sharonda lie. We're gonna lead y'all astray every goddamn time. Okay.
Every damn time y'all gonna be led astray.
But on a real tip. When I read this, first of all, it was 494 pages, and I was like, what the fuck? Now, I sat my little happy ass down, and I read this book, 494 pages, because I literally wanted to know more about Diesel. And for the most part, honestly, I really did like him. He was mysterious. He had this... he had this dominant demeanor that I like. I feel like if I do get in a relationship, because, you know, niggas ain't shit. But anyway, if I do get in a relationship, I would have to be with somebody who I feel has this dominant demeanor. I feel like I need that. You know, I need that. And
I agree.
He had this confidence, and he had this assertiveness that just made me want to learn more about him. You know, and the woman who actually was gonna tear down the walls that he built, because obviously he had some walls. You understand? I'm not talking about those type of walls, so I don't play me. But anyway, he had these walls that he had up. to
yeah, that he built up. You could tell he was very,
very closed off.
Yeah, outside of his family, his brothers, honestly, he did have walls up. He really didn't let a lot of people in. But that's what I liked about his character. I thought for his dominant way, he's just like this very loving, like kind of like smushy, you know, person. Yeah. Underneath. Because you could just tell that in the way that he took care of his family. Like he would drop whatever he was doing and go, you know, if it was a problem, Diesel was on it. So I just really loved that about him. So we're going to introduce, so this story has BDSM elements in it. If you guys have not picked up on that already, Diesel is the dominant and he is always looking for subs. He's the type of dominant that doesn't like to keep long-term submissive relationships. He meets them. He has a contract a certain time. And when it's over, bitch.
Wasn't it like 7 weeks? Like he gave them 7 weeks of hard, stiff dick. I ain't gonna lie. I would have to go on ahead and fold for that 7 weeks because it's obvious. Like, and I like how he really didn't make it all about sex. Like he actually, 100%. Financially, you know, physically, he had her working out and, you know, he basically financed her. Like it wasn't really all about sex.
But that's what I liked about his character. For him, he reminded me of like kind of like the old school BDS male characters that, you know, I used to read. Like when they brought in a submissive, they did things with their submissive. He was making her go to the gym. She was getting offended, but it was for her to build her stamina up for the shit he was about to put her through. You know what I mean? It was like, girl, you gotta have stamina for this. You just can't be bringing your ass in here just thinking sex is sex. It's different.
I do feel like he didn't open up emotionally as much as I want him to, but no. He did have the contract and they had to accept or deny it. So it is what it is. But exactly. I do feel like he did, like I said, you could accept or deny the emotional part. And I feel like that's what I was missing too, because when it comes to the BDSM part, there wasn't really a lot of aftercare. And when it comes to aftercare, it really, you have to, you know, get into that emotional side, and he did not have that. So like I said, I wanted a little bit more emotion from him. But we didn't get that. But like I said, he had the contract and he already tell you what it was. So you had to accept or deny it. So it was what it was. Right. And the family dynamics. Okay. Book one. These niggas had issues in book one. You understand what I'm saying? These niggas was dysfunctional in book one. I was like, what the fuck? They was really dysfunctional in book one. So to see this 180 in book two, I really like that. I liked how him and Diamond, you could always tell that him and Diamond had a better relationship, they had a cordial relationship in book one. But you can see that, you know, it developed. And in book two, they really, it's like their relationship went further in this book. Because I feel like when the situation happened in book one, when Diamond was needed, Diesel did come to him. So it's obvious that Diesel and him had some type of relationship, but it wasn't really that good. But you can tell in this book that it was better. And I think it had something to do with, what's her name? Diamond's wife.
Oh my God, I loved her, Quincy. I am a Quincy stan. I just loved her in this book. I just liked her presence on page. Like she was there, but she wasn't kind of like overbearing. Yeah. And I liked his relationship with his sister-in-law. Like it wasn't, you know, like overbearing or creepy or anything like that. They were just like almost like brother and sister, you know what I mean? Like they would joke around with each other and shit like that. But yeah, I agree. I love the family dynamics between the brothers.
Yes.
Their parents fucked up.
You know.
The parents, I'm sorry, them parents was fucked up. And, you know, me and Tama were talking. And I was just saying, like, I feel like the parents used their relationship, their marriage, to start to put this divide between their kids. They use their kids as weapons in that marriage, and this is why you probably had all that dysfunction in the first book with them as grown adults, and you didn't see them as close as they were in this book, because even the twin, which we didn't get a lot on page, and I'm like, so why? It's somebody that looks just like Deidre and we don't get them, but okay, whatever.
Yeah, I want...
Wait, where was the twin? But his son...
The twin wasn't twinning. That's all I'm saying.
But the son,
The twin was on page in book one because he was jealous of Diamond. And he was jealous of Diamond because Diamond just is a natural born leader and he wasn't. I mean, dude had a panic attack in the goddamn book because he couldn't handle shit. That's how he ended up moving to, I can't remember the
Citrus Grove.
Citrus Grove. That's how his ass ended up moving to Citrus Grove because nigga he had a panic attack. He couldn't handle the shit. But so I feel like really a major part of the storyline in book one.
Okay.
Because of his jealousy and his envy towards Diamond. So maybe that's why he wasn't on page in book two. But then again, we do realize that him and Diesel, they're twins, but they really ain't that close.
Right, because remember he said that on page that they weren't that close. Like, if it came, like, again, like I said earlier, if it came down to them being there for each other, they were down to be down. You know, they were down. They were going to be there for their brothers or whatever. But it wasn't as close as they would have liked them to be, especially for them to be twins. I was just like, what? But getting back to the parents, I do feel like their story was too much on page, and it kind of like took took a lot of the element from Diesel's. And we ain't even talk about Grayson yet. Grayson is okay. Going to become his sub, okay?
Yes.
It took away from Diesel and Grayson's story. If she wanted to explain to her, and when I'm saying she, in reference to the author, if Miss Carter wanted to explain to us like why Diesel was the way he was, and the parents were a little bit on page, which we got because, you know, you got the point where Quincy was saying like she really wouldn't let the mother around their baby because the mother was tripping. She was wilding out.
This goes back to book one because we find out, and it's going to be some spoilers, and I'm guessing everybody who's listening to this right now, everybody who's listening to this right now probably already read book one. So right. Diamond was conceived to basically help his sister, and this is why there's this gap and this dysfunction in the family, because Diamond found out that he was born to help his sister, and then he got in some trouble and they just ostracized him and just sent him off to boarding school, and he resented his parents. So I tell you, book one, the family, it was fucking bad. These niggas is crazy.
It was bad here because the mother, she was blaming Diesel for her dysfunctional marriage. And it's like there was a power dynamic between Diesel and his father, right? And she refused to see that. And I didn't like that because she stayed mad at Diesel because her husband could keep his dick in between them in their marriage. And it's like, that's not your son's fault. Get at your husband, lady, especially that she knew. She always knew that this man was out here sharing his penis with everybody else. The man had a fucking side chick for what, 30 plus years? And she knew? Come on, man.
Okay, so we have to go back and talk about Grayson. Because we didn't
get on Grayson now. Because Grayson, the mama had me mad, y'all. I'm just saying. But
okay, I like so Grayson. Grayson, to me, she was a breath of fresh air for me. Mm-hmm. I feel like she's been through so much, but continues to persevere. And on one of the lowest nights of her life, she met Diesel.
Yes.
Who thinks he's found the perfect candidate to control.
Yes.
But the tables turn.
Yes.
And he isn't sure how to handle that.
He was never sure how to handle her. So I was like, sir.
Yeah, and the tables turned, so he wasn't sure how to handle that. And if I want to, when it comes to that, first of all, I feel like the BDSM was handled much better in this book than it was handled in the first book. And I'm gonna be honest and say the BDSM in the first book, what BDSM? Let's start there. What BDSM? Because it wasn't none. Okay? It was poorly done.
Oh.
So I feel like this one is more structured. I'm not gonna say it's the best, but coming from book one to now.
It's
better. It's better.
It was much more structured, and it was more on the level of what you would probably find in some BDSM books, like, you know, with him doing a contract and him, you know, making sure she went through certain things, you know, making sure she, because she's new to this. So he was making sure, you know, asking her to ask him questions on things that she didn't know, asking her what she thought her kinks were. So the BDSM in this book, I agree with Tamer, it was very structured, and it was more on a line of, you know, what you would probably find in some heavy BDSM books.
It was obvious that the author actually did her research in this one, and because of how it was handled.
Yes.
Scenes to me wasn't overly wild.
Right.
But there was some nasty shit in this book. It's some nasty time in here. Because
there are levels to it. There's levels to it. You know, you have light, you have in between, and you have heavy BDSM. And it depends on the relationship between the dom. She probably couldn't handle. I don't know. She was a brat. Now, in this book, Grayson, what you would call a brat in the BDSM scenes or whatever, because she would do things and she would say things. Finding out her kinks,
we're going to get back to that.
Say things to make him, you know, punish her. So
yeah, we're going to get back to that, because when it comes to Grayson, what I really liked is the innocence of her navigating the lifestyle and her internal struggles when she realizes, like you said, she liked certain kinks. Because at first she didn't know. Did not like the fact that she liked to be spanked, you know, because she feel like she liked that shit. You understand? So that's where the brattiness came in, because when she realized that, oh shit, I like the spanking, I like when he's punishing me, then she started to explore. So I liked the innocence of her navigating that lifestyle, finding out what she liked, and actually behaving in a way to get what she wanted because of her kinks. So I like that. And I liked how she gradually starts to speak her mind and actually stand up for herself. I feel like she stood up to herself to Diesel, but the people who she's supposed to stand up to, she was mute, bitch. Like, but anyway, we're going to get there. But like I said, another thing I liked about this book was the flashbacks. I feel like we got a better start to get a better understanding of Diesel when we found out how he got introduced to the lifestyle with his father. Mm. That flashback was needed. I feel
that
like
was key. That was key.
That was key. So kudos to the author for that. The flashback was key. I feel that, like that gave us
shit though. But go ahead.
The dad ain't shit. Okay. Ain't shit.
Go ahead.
And then we saw how that bond was created between Diesel and his father.
Exactly.
Which I feel like you said, the power dynamic in that situation where you have a young boy who wants to please his father, who wants to be looked at and highly esteemed in his father's eyes, and his father's doing this bullshit. But anyway. And then we went back to finding out about Grayson and her situation, which traumatized her. So
Go ahead, because I got a lot to say, but go ahead.
We do have a lot to say. But we talked about the family dynamics in the Danger family, but the family dynamics in Grayson's family?
Terrible.
A hot motherfucking mess.
Terrible.
They need to go on Jerry Springer. And it ain't got nothing to do with who's the father. It's some, what that movie, that Jerry Springer movie back in the day? They need their ass whooped.
They were terrible people. So in this book, it is very heavy on gaslighting. It is parental child gaslighting. In this book.
Lost parental child. Yeah. Okay. So speaking of the heaviness, there was no content warnings in this book.
It needed.
Unacceptable.
Yeah, she needed to indicate
this book
that.
Had some content warnings should have been listed in this book. Yes. Because one, heavy gaslighting.
Yeah. Oh, it was so bad. It was so bad. And we're going to get to that. But yeah, it was really, really bad. The gaslighting, and then also in reference to what Tama said as far as the content trigger warnings, there was a loss of child written on page.
Discussed on page.
So there, you don't have, we just talked about this in the last episode, content and trigger warnings. You're not spoiling your story, but there are things like this that needs to be, you know,
one page.
There needs to be a warning at the beginning.
Think of your readers. We don't know if there's a reader in there who suffering from, lost a child.
Yeah.
Mention of suicide is in this book.
Yes. Grayson was really down bad in this book. Her mother and her grandmother were really bad to her. They gaslit her a lot.
They were trash.
They gaslit her a lot in this book. So basically with Grayson, we're going to go on to the family dynamics with Grayson.
Okay? Family dynamics with Grayson. Let me tell you something. Grayson. Hands. Paws. I'm whooping everybody ass, okay? I'm whooping the mama, the grandmother. I'm kicking her cane. I'm pushing the wheelchair, bitch. I'm doing all of that shit.
Not kicking the cane. We're pushing the bitch
I'm
down.
I'm kicking the cane, bitch.
Let me tell you something. If she was in a wheelchair, I would have rolled her ass off.
I'm moving goddamn tennis balls off of that bitch.
Remember that episode in Family Guy when Bonnie always trying to get rid of her husband in the wheelchair? Would have been me with the grandmother, because the grandmother was a terrible fucking person. The way her relationship with her daughter, it blew back to Grayson so fucking bad that her own mother started doing the same thing to her. So Grayson was pretty much being tag teamed by these goddamn women.
The grandma is the puppet master and she just pulling the strings. I'm telling you, she's the devil. She is Satan's child. Okay? This woman is horrible.
When they say it's the devil in your family, that was goddamn Grayson's.
You know, every family got that one devil. Every family got that one devil. I know my family devil off the top of my head right now. I ain't gonna say nothing, but I know who it is, bitch.
Yeah, I know who that devil is. That was the grandmama in this book. So with Grayson, also Grayson is going through a bad divorce. Her terrible ass goddamn cousin. So anyway, we kind of find out that the ex-husband cheated on her after she lost her child.
With the cousin who was supposed to be helping her get her life together because she was depressed. But she helped her by sitting on her husband's goddamn dick. How about that?
Oh, she helped her, all right. She helped her to her fucking husband's
pause. Dick. I was putting the pause on her.
Let's fight, bitch. Let's fight. Like, And the gaslighting comes in because these people were getting fucking married, y'all. Okay, we in the spoiler parts. Y'all
okay,
going to
at this
like,
point, if you're whatever. Listening to this episode, you probably already know the book. So this is spoilers. You're going to get spoilers.
Listen, we always tell y'all shit that's going on in these books and y'all still scramble towards them. So we do what we're going to do. But anyway, these two motherfuckers end up getting married, y'all. And her trifling ass grandmother and mother gaslit this girl into going where?
To the engagement party. I would have kicked her down a hill. You understand what I'm saying? I would have kicked that bitch down a hill. Because in no way, my cousin getting married to my ex-husband, and you talking about I got to go to the wet now? Fuck y'all. How about that? Fuck
y'all. Oh my God. It was so bad. They were so bad to her. It was just terrible. And I know y'all asking, well, where was the daddy? The daddy was there, but...
The daddy ain't got no backbone. Let's start there. He ain't got no back. Spineless.
Spineless asshole.
Spineless bitch. You understand what I'm saying? He ain't got nothing. Just bent over because he ain't got no backbone.
How do you sit in that house and you watch those two women go off on your daughter like that, especially at a time when she was going through depression, and you did not stand up for her? My issue with the father in this book is, like, you claimed you loved your daughter, and there were times where he would just, like, as for instance, on the day of this fake ass pre-wedding dinner party, he kept telling Grayson, you don't have to go, you don't have to go. No, how about you force her not to go, sir? Even if she knew how her grandmother and mother was going to react, why don't you stand up for your daughter, sir?
How about you tell your wife to chill the fuck out? How about you tell your wife to chill the fuck out?
Oh, he made me so mad. He just did not stand up for her. And
and then this is the icing on the cake. This is the icing on the cake. The cousin had the fucking audacity to change the wedding date to the day this girl lost her child.
How about I walk up in this motherfucker and spray everybody? If you ain't ducked, you're dead. Everybody would have been gone at that point in time. Only person I probably would have saved was my daddy. That's it. Everybody else sprayed. You're dead. Sorry.
At this point, Outcast Bombs Over Baghdad is playing in my head because I'm
everybody
getting it. Anybody can get it at this point.
Everybody. It was so bad. Like, her grandmother, the way she would talk to Grayson, they would talk about her weight.
The grandmother say, well, you ain't make it easy for him. Ooh. So, girl, I would have pop, pop, pop. That slaps, y'all. That slaps. Slaps.
This can go off into the conversation on how a lot of older Black women, or Black women in general, deal with their daughters instead of lifting their daughters up and encourage their daughters to move on to something better, especially when they know that they're in these terrible ass relationships. These women decide to they gaslit her, and they protected her ex-husband more than they protected Grayson. It was bad. I've been watching TikTok lately, and there's a lady on there. She has a new word for pick-me's, and she said Mammy Tammy. And I swear to God, that was Grayson's mama and grandmama, because ain't no way y'all defending this terrible-ass man over your family.
There should have been some content warning for that gaslighting man, because
it was so bad, and they wondered why she was always, they over-talked her so bad, the girl never found her voice. So this goes into the thing of why I feel like with Diesel allowed her that space where she can get out to her frustrations, and she could talk to him the way she talked to him, because he let her. Also, he liked it. He got off on it too. So...
Yeah, his dick got hard from that.
His dick was always...
It really did.
It was tingling, honey. He was loving it. But I do feel like, because also he knew that she never had a voice with her family, so he allowed her to have a voice with him in their situation.
I can see that.
He just did, because I can't explain it no other way. But her family was... Ooh, them bitches was bad. But anyway, so girl, let's move on, because I'm hot talking about them. I'm hot. They make me mad. But So we move on to, so what happens is once Dizu meets Grayson and he's already made up his mind that she's the perfect candidate to be his submissive, and how he deals with his submissives, he immediately gets this contract to her, and Grayson is immediately kind of like off put because she's like, well, how you even know I'm going to be your sub? And he's like, oh, I already know. We already knew she was, because she was feeling him, because every time she saw him, pussy was leaking. But anyway,
she was kind of intrigued about when she started to read the contract. She became intrigued, mm-hmm. and so it was kind of implied that she was gonna go ahead and accept the sub position with him. Yeah. So, and then he kind of invited her to go with him to New York. Now, the way that her family behaved when she was planning on going to New York, and the way that she was scared to tell her family, boy, girl, fuck you. That's what I would have said. Fuck y'all. With a sick dick.
You know what pissed me off about that scene? That motherfucking raggedy-ass grandmother showing up with the cousin and the ex-husband. Bitch.
It's like they was praising the cousin. Like, that is this girl's ex-husband. What the fuck is wrong with y'all?
They went out of their way to make Grayson feel bad. All the time, they went out of their way, especially the mother and the grandmother and that trifling-ass cousin. They went out their way to make her feel bad. And it was terrible to see on page. I just, oh my God. But anyway, they showed up and they're arguing with Diesel. Diesel wasn't really having it. He introduced himself to the father, pretty much told the ex-husband, get your punk ass out my face. Basically. And he pretty much told them, she's going with me, rather y'all like it or not. And shut them right on up. And then they're on their way to New York. So this is this is where me and Tama kind of like, she called me Judas for 2 days. But go ahead, Tama, go ahead.
Okay.
You gonna put on your sunglasses?
Yeah, because the hateration in this dancery is... Okay, this is where I had the majority of my issues. The dialogue. The dialogue when they went to New York. Mm-hmm. From 30% to about 60% of this book, I felt I was stuck in scenes that did not move the story forward.
Okay.
Grayson found out that she liked certain kinks, right? She found out that she liked certain kinks, and this is where it goes into Sharonda when she mentioned, oh, she was a brat. She started doing bratty things just so she can get punished, because she knew when she got punished, Diesel was gonna do the shit that she enjoyed.
Yes.
This happened until about 60% in this book. Different scenarios, same result, did not move the story forward. You understand? The story did not move forward until they were in the park taking pictures. That's when the story moved forward, when they had the first photo shoot in the park. That's when the relationship really changed. But guess what? We didn't see the shit on page. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just saying, this book is 494 motherfucking pages. You understand? I sat my ass down and I read this book 494 pages. Why? She asked for 5 dates. Why were the 5 dates left out? 494 pages. Why didn't we see the details? Why didn't we see them fall in love? I just feel like a lot of dialogue in this book was unnecessary. It wasn't needed, and it could have been used to focus on giving us that transition from dorm sub to when they actually fell in love. Now, remember, she was talking about, it was this scene in this book when she said, oh, so I'm a gold digger now. People are saying, when they see me with you, I'm a gold digger. And I'm sitting there like, what they see? Because I see shit. What happened? I ain't see shit. We didn't get to see her being an influencer. We didn't get those dates. We didn't get anything. We didn't get anything that showed us that this couple fell in love. And I'm gonna say this the third time. This book was 494 motherfucking pages. If you couldn't give me that in 494 pages, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say.
Well,
like I said, this book, honestly, and I'm not, and Sharonda say, Sharonda called me a hater. And you know what? I'll take that because I got hater shit. Because I got hater shit in me. You understand?
Don't call her a hater. I told her she gonna be hating by herself.
And you know what? And that's fine. Because like I said, I've been play hating for years now, and I know how to do this shit by myself. Because you know how I am. I stand on my word. My word is my bond, bitch, and I ain't letting go. And like I said, 400, this is the fourth time I'm going to say this, motherfucker. 494 motherfucking pages. I'm not going to excuse my language because I meant to say that. 494 pages. Her asking for the 5 dates. Wasn't that on page, Sharonda? Her asking for the 5 dates was on page.
It was okay. All right.
I ain't finished yet.
What else you have to say? Because now we agree on what. Go ahead, finish your point. Go ahead.
Like finish I said, point. Her being an influencer, those meetings that she had, we missed out on those. I feel like those were pivotal parts of this story that we needed to see.
Okay.
The story does not feel complete to me because I didn't see those. And when Grayson brought it up, I'm like, girl, what you talking about? Because I ain't see shit. You understand what I'm saying?
I
didn't see it. And I'm just saying, if you say this girl asked for 5 dates, why we ain't see none of the dates? And I mean, you ain't got to give us 5, but you ain't give us none. None. We ain't get nothing for 494 pages. Come on, man. Like, I did. And I also feel like I did not like the resolution between her and her mom and her grandma. We're talking about dialogue, so I'm going to let... That's how I feel. I feel like this book was on pause for a while and it really didn't move the story forward. It was just sex. And I get it. Sex is important. You understand? But details are important also. Moving a story forward is also important.
This is true. I 100% agree.
So that's my thoughts.
Okay. You want to put back on your glasses? I'm still Judas.
Judas betrayed me.
Anyway, so I agree with her, y'all. Okay, let me get my words in because she talking like I just did her so dirty.
She did me dirty.
But anyway, now I agree with her. The story did stall when they reached to New York because for me, we did not see them transition into a dom sub relationship. I feel like that did need to be on page because it went as soon as they got to New York. They had one date night, and it wasn't a date night. It was pretty much him introducing her into the dom sub relationship. So let me take that back. That was not a date.
I was about to take it back from you.
I said I take it back.
Okay? I was just making sure.
But anyway, so he introduces her to that by taking her out that night. And then from there, it was just like all we got was sex.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah. But this is, for what was going on inside of that story, this wasn't just a straight BDSM book or erotic book.
Yes.
Because there were too many heavy triggers and themes on page for it to be just that.
Yeah.
There was a lot going on with Grayson. There was shit going on with Diesel too. So we needed a transition from them going into dom to sub to them falling in love or going into a romantic type relationship. Uh-huh. And I agree with her ass. I said I agreed with that because that was not on page. Now, for me, she's talking about these 5 dates. To me, it did not. Because I liked the story so much, it did not faze me to see these 5 dates. Yes, that was supposed to be part of what they were supposed to be doing when they got to New York. But I
feel like you have an attitude. It's the head movement for me, but go on.
Anyway, okay. So, you know, I do feel like those 5 dates, it really didn't matter to me to see it on page. But mm-hmm. I do agree there were things that Grayson was saying, like when we were getting more towards the end of the book, that we did not see happen on page when they were in New York. You know what I mean? So we needed that to, once we got to that end, the conclusion of the story, when she was saying these things and stuff, we needed that. Like, I'll go back to what Tama said earlier, like those flashbacks. We got like certain flashbacks of conversations between them and stuff like that, but not the whole thing. So yeah, for this to be a 400, and she got me to read a 400. Y'all know I don't like long ass books, okay? She got me to read a 494 page book. I liked it, and then she called me Judas. But anyway, for this to be a 494 page book, almost a 500 page book, yeah, I do feel like there were certain overarching stories that did not need it. As much as I enjoyed Diamond and Quincy on page. Yes. We didn't really need them that much.
Agreed. And the moment
all of that could have been taken out or shaved down so we can get more interactions between them. A more of a romantic, more of a dom sub buildup and a romantic buildup when they were in New York, and we did not get that.
I'm gonna piggyback. Oh, are you done?
Yes, I'm done.
Okay, I'm going to piggyback off of what you said about, like, I do feel what you said, that them having the dates wasn't, like, it didn't matter to you. It didn't, if you didn't see it on page, but let's remember that Grayson was starting to fall for Diesel.
She was already in love with his ass.
And she wanted those dates. I feel like if we had seen at least a few of those dates, it would have actually showed them actually falling in love. It would have given us that transition from dom sub to them falling in love. So I feel that would have been good. And like you said, when they got to New York, the back and forth, like I feel like it was a hamster wheel It was a hamster wheel in the book. And I feel like a lot of that could have been shaved down to give us the romance. And I get it. Sex is important. But moving a story forward is also important, and completing a story is also important. And I'm sorry, I just cannot understand how you can have a book, this is the fifth time I'm saying this, for 494 pages, and it still doesn't feel complete. It's still lacking details. It feels rushed to the end because it was stuffed with so much sex and unnecessary dialogue that when it came to the end, it felt like everything was wrapped up so quick. And we didn't get to see, and it wasn't fleshed out, and we didn't get to see anything. Honestly, that's unacceptable for me.
Well, this is where we kind of like butt heads, because for me, it really, because I enjoy their characters so much on page, a lot of stuff that bothered her, which, to tell you the honest God's truth, y'all know me and Tame are pretty much like 100% agree on stuff with books.
Night
and
day.
It really didn't bother me because I enjoyed Grayson and Diesel so much on page. There are a lot of things I feel like, yes, she did leave out and that we did not need, especially that situation with his last sub, you know, ending up pregnant and all this kind of like third scene, kind of like this third act breakup that went on between them. We didn't need that.
We did not need that because nothing happened.
I feel like it was just a waste of time.
Nothing happened. Nothing happened with that storyline. Why was it there?
Right.
Nothing happened.
Right.
Nothing happened. And then the other one with the sub, when she went to school and the other sub finding out that she was, she dates Diamond. That's another, like, why was this here?
Right. It was a lot of stuff that I feel like, it was just like a lot of extra stuff again that was in there that could have just been left out or like Tama said, shaved down so that we can get a building of a Don sub relationship. Because I do feel like on page, we did not have, even though they were in this relationship, we didn't see it being built. We didn't see them transitioning into that. And that's what I wanted to see, because I had a big love for Diesel. Again, he reminded me of some of like the old school male dominant characters that I read. And with those old school dominant male characters, you always saw the transition mm-hmm. of a dom and submissive relationship on page. So I wanted to see that, because Diesel was just he was really a force on page, and I like that.
Yeah, I
so
agree.
which and why I was able to forgive her for her lack of things inside of this book. Not too much, okay, but I was able to just, you know, let it go for some stuff, you know, because I liked them on page. I did.
Okay, Elsa,
anyway. So let's move on. She you want to put back on your sunglasses? Anyway. So we move to where we had this third act breakup with them. The situation happens with the ex sub, and Grayson ends up going back to Citrus Grove because they are trying to figure out what they want to do with this relationship. Are they going to stay in it, or if they're just going to go their separate ways? Because I don't even think they finished the 6 weeks.
No,
they didn't. But anyway, so they get back to Florida they get back to Citrus Grove. And this is where we see Grayson. What I did not like, we're going to go on to the part where Tamen was saying I didn't like the resolvings of the situation with Grayson, her mother, and her grandmother, because even though she had a conversation with her father on page mm-hmm. in regards to how he never stood up for her, mm-hmm. Going on between all the shit that was going on between her, her grandmother, and her mother, we didn't get a conversation of between her and the mother on page. And I think as a reader, for all the shit that we saw the mother put her through, we needed that. Now, honestly, yes. Fuck the grandmother.
We needed that. And it's like Grayson actually was going through this period where she was actually finding her voice, finding her mm-hmm. confidence. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the icing on the cake or closing that chapter of her life would have been her standing up to her mother and her grandmother. Mm-hmm. We were robbed of that. We got Diesel talking to his mom,
which we
didn't really need that, because Diesel and his mom, I mean, the mama was gonna go back on the daddy's dick anyway. So it's like we needed Grayson to stand up to her grandmother and her mom. We needed that on page.
Like, yeah, the way we got her standing up to the father, especially that scene with the cousin where she yanked that bitch up. Okay. We needed that with the mother and the grandmother. I mean, I really didn't give two shits about the grandmother anymore because she was a terrible fucking person. But yeah. I feel like, yeah, we needed that with the mother, because it's like, how do you, like, yeah, Tamen, we was talking offline and, you know, Tamen was saying, but Sharonda, she was under the mother was under the grandmother's thumb. But how do you let that kind of harm come to your daughter and just not stand up for her? Like, that shit was wild to see on page. Like, the mother was nuts. She was nuts. She was so far up under the grandmother's thumb that Grayson cut off contact with her. This lady didn't even see her grandkids.
Mm-mm. She had so much pride that she rather not talk to her daughter. And child,
How do you allow your own mother to end your relationship with your daughter and your future grandkids? Like,
that's another thing that I feel like could have been in there, and some other stuff could have been cut out of this book. Like the situation with Diesel's mom and dad. First of all, the mom already said she going back to the man. I just gonna, you know, scare him for a little bit. Why are we here? She going back to the man anyway. Why is we here?
The only thing I gave Diesel credit for in that conversation with his mother was him admitting, apologizing to,
right,
to being a part of her unhappiness when it came to her husband. But that wasn't his fault. When you're reading this book, she's literally blaming Diesel too for her husband's indiscretions. And it's like, he was a child. Like, and then as he got grown, you got mad because he was telling you when he got grown, you won't leave. What do you want us to do?
See, and that's the thing. My issue was, he already got in some trouble in book one with his dick. This is why Diamond had to take over his position. He already got in trouble in book one. He back in book two doing the same shit. And then we still gotta, like, I'm sorry. The romance between Diesel and Grayson was not there. And that's just facts. It did not happen. There was no romance. Was there sex? Yes. Romance? No. At this point, is this book even a romance? Because there was no romancing happening. I mean, but at the end of the day, they did have a happily ever after.
Right.
But we did not see any romance on page.
I can agree with that. I can agree with that. But I think her allowing him to be who he wanted to be, and especially for him, allowing her the space to grow and come into herself and start speaking up for herself. I think for me, by the time I got to the end of this book, I was okay with it, because even though we didn't see the romance on page, it felt like a romance because they were just, I don't know. It felt like that to me because.
Exactly. Just, you don't know.
Listen, Heffa, anyway. Anyway, it felt like that to me because I do feel like they had some connection on page the more we saw like this kind of like bratty behavior, you know,
between them. Based off of what you just described, it sounds like a journey to self-love to me.
Anyway.
I'm just saying.
You see how she always, y'all see how she do me?
I'm just saying, I'm sorry.
She's still mad because I like the book.
I liked parts more than she did. I liked parts of this book because, you know, I said I like Diesel and certain stuff that I like, but I'm still stuck on the fact that I'm here reading a 409, this is sixth time. Is it six? I'm here reading a 494 page book, and I sitting here scrambling for my life, trying to figure out what happened here, what happened there. At this point, if you cannot give a complete story in 494 pages, baby.
Well, all I'm going to say is, as much as Miss Roll felt that there were things incomplete, and I agreed that their things were incomplete, I was fine with this story by the time that I got to the end of it. I was fine.
Yeah.
With Grayson and I think for me, I was just fine with Grayson and Diesel. They did it for me.
Yeah.
I think the way she kind of like put their ending kind of like made it better for me.
What ending?
What ending? They ended up, they had a happily ever after on page.
Am I the drama?
Yes, you're the drama because him. Yes, you're the drama because him showing up to, now the only thing, now the only thing I did not like about,
okay, about, go ahead.
The only thing I did not like about the ending was him when he showed up to her condo and he was apologizing to her for being a dumbass jerk when he was in New York and the whole baby, non-baby situation. Him telling her that he found out that this ex-sub who was pregnant but the kid wasn't his, that he knew even before she left New York. Like, that kind of, like, pissed me off because I was like, but we do kind of find out that Diesel was kind of, like, in his own head as well, because even though he had this thing of, you know, he marriage wasn't for him and he didn't see anybody himself in a long-term relationship and all that other shit these men be talking about in his book, him being around his brothers, he did want kids. So he did have a situation where he thought he was sterile and he had to go through all this whole, you know, trying to, you know, to get his little men swimming and stuff or whatever. But I didn't like that he knew that old girl, that the baby wasn't his, and he let Grayson leave, because I just kind of feel like, why is we here? But I do like that they didn't have a, like, that ending of them getting back together or him showing up to her condo. It wasn't too much of a kind of like a, you know how sometimes we get these endings and it's just like, either one or the other person is just so difficult, they're making the ending kind of like bad, like worse. So I just feel like, you know, because there wasn't much conflict of them getting back together, it just worked for me. It worked for me. So she had her issues and that's just that, but it worked for this reader here.
No comment.
Good. Good, damn it, good.
No comment. I felt the ending was rushed, but then again, I said that already. I feel like the middle could have been condensed a little bit more to give us a better ending.
I love the ending. I thought it was a good ending. My only two issues was him not telling her that he knew that the kid wasn't his, and her we're not getting no kind of resolution between mainly her mother, because I was like, bitch, why is that not on page? I needed that. But yeah, so I'm gonna be Judas probably for the rest of the week, because now Aang, she suggested this book and
like I said, I wanted to read this book.
I was gonna bypass it because
I don't read this book anymore. Soon as it dropped, I started reading this book. I finished the book the day it dropped. Okay? I finished the book the day it dropped.
You must have did not like it that bad because you finished it the same day. So
I read Sharonda. Come on now. Sharonda, please. In my Santana voice. Sharonda, please.
Listen.
Lady. You know I read fast.
Yeah, we know you read
fast. And I was off that day.
You be cheating while you be reading?
What you mean? Cheating? Wait, what you mean? Cheat? Wait, what? Repeat that, child. What
you cheating while you be reading? You be skimming, like, stuff?
You be cheating skimming? Like what?
You be skimming?
I don't skim, baby. One thing Shades and Pages don't do is skim. Let's clear that up right now. Shades and Pages do not skim, okay? Skim is too close to the Kardashians, and I don't even fool with them. Hello? Come on now.
Get up.
Shades and Pages do not skim. I read that book. I just told you from 30% to 60% the book was on pause and this bitch skimming. No, baby, I read that book.
Every last page.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did I love the book? Mm-hmm. No. Did I hate the book? No. The book was okay for me. It was just okay. I love certain parts of the book. Diesel, that's my baby. You understand? See, I love that man. I did like Grayson's journey of confidence from start to beginning when she started to, you know, develop that confidence in herself. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's about it.
Okay. I mean,
that's just me being honest.
I highly enjoyed the book. Now, did I love it? No, but I highly enjoyed the book.
Mm-hmm.
Diesel was just, I just find him ears as iffy.
Now, if I had to make a choice between Diesel and Diamond, I would definitely pick Diesel. But I feel like the sex was better in book one. I feel like the sex was better. But the common denominator that I had between both of these books
mm-hmm.
is the dialogue pausing in the middle of the story. There has to be a way. There has to be a way that the story moves forward. For 400, and the first book was almost 500 pages too, and
yeah, that's why I'm looking side eye because I'm just like I don't even know if so, I'm
yeah that's my biggest issue, the dialogue and it's just I just still can't find I just 494 pages and I'm still here fighting for my life trying to figure out, but like
well,
I said.
Overall,
are we rating overall?
Overall, which, I mean, you gave us overall. You gave us your thoughts. I mean, overall?
Overall, it was an okay book for me, overall.
Okay. Overall, I highly enjoyed it. Did I love it? No. I liked the book a whole lot. Grayson and Diesel just did it for me. I liked their energy on page. I will say I was a fence sitter for Grayson because I wanted her to have that same energy that she had with Diesel. I wanted her to have it with her mama and grandmother. But you know, we at the end of this now and I'm gonna let it go. But I that's what I needed for her. Okay. I'm glad she showed up finally. But yeah.
I'ma let it go too, but she's still Judas until the end of August.
In the end of August, yeah, whatever.
No, for real, y'all. I'm playing.
Whatever.
No,
whatever.
For real. But I'ma let it go, but
okay.
No, I ain't letting it go. Then your attitude caused me bring it back. Your attitude now. Your attitude.
Oh, I can't have no attitude now.
No. Can I have my attitude? You to shut me down. You know. No. But overall, it was an okay book for me. But like you said, you enjoyed it. So yeah.
Because them last couple of wrecks she been giving me.
Hey, my wrecks be wrecking, baby. Stop playing. Don't give me that look. My wrecks be wrecking. But, you know, we got a few more minutes to chat. So.
Okay. Y'all know how we go into our bullshit party.
The stuff that's been going on in the book community, y'all, like. So we got Miss, what's her name? Miss Kiara Lewis, a.k.a. Miss Run Book Talk, got the panties in a frenzy. Got Black Book Talk in a frenzy because she said she read 10 books and she run book talk. Baby, why y'all don't let this woman run book talk in peace?
You know, I have never, this girl has never came across my FYP. She has never came across my FYP until all this shit started with her and her saying she run book talk. But at the end of the day, if this girl built her platform off of thirsting off of white men and movies and country music, what do you, if she decided to do book talk, what do y'all think her book talk was going to transition over to her thirsting over white fictional male characters.
Ain't that it?
So her followers, she's only catering to her audience, which is mainly more than likely white people and Black people that don't like Black books.
Like I said, she's on brand. This girl went viral.
On brand.
For, she went viral for thirsting after baseball players, country players, I mean, country singers, race car drivers. These were white men. She got viral off of white men. What makes you think that she's going to read books with black men? She got viral for thirsting after white men. She's just expanding her thirst to the book world.
Now, I watched the video, the initial video that she did. Now, I know everybody was up in the uproar about it, but I looked at that video, and she was joking when she said she run book talk. You can tell she was joking. Now, her follow-up video to that, it was cringe. Okay, it was cringe. I was like, ooh, girl, you know, she's very unself-aware, okay? But she's not going to move off brand to please her people. She's not going to do that. She's going to stay on brand. And the more y'all keep stitching this girl and talking about this girl, the more she's going to do response videos and say how she's always having a problem with black people in the black community and how they don't, black people in black community don't stick up for her and all this other stuff. Please stop stitching this girl, because I don't want to see her anymore on my timeline. Leave her in the, where she at? If she want to be over there with the white people in the white books and Colleen Hoover, let her stay over there. Stop stitching this girl. I don't want to see her no more. I'm only seeing her via stitches and duets. I don't want to see her no more. She's not going to read black books. Stop saying y'all going to recommend. Stop telling black book talkers and black book talk to wreck her books, because y'all know damn well she ain't going to read them. Stop wrecking her books. Stop asking that she read black books. She's not going to do it. She's not going to do it. The girl's on brand. I don't have no problem with the girl. I think she funny. She too fucking loud for me.
She loud as fuck.
She over there shucking and jiving.
But that's the thing. She's over here. She over here shucking and jiving. And that's what, you know what? If it works, if she like it, I love it.
If that's what's going to get her bag, listen. I don't want to see this girl no more on my FYP. Leave her over there.
It's rather very...
She's getting book clubs. Y'all already know.
Everybody got a book club these days. And that's
y'all
fine.
Y'all already know, once people start catering, y'all already know how these platforms work. Y'all already know how these platforms work. It is about numbers. Yes, it's about content and all that other stuff, but it is about numbers and all that other shit. And she has the high count, okay?
It's higher now. It's higher now.
Because y'all keep sticking and duetting her ass, it's getting higher and higher. Leave her the fuck alone. Stop doing it. I don't want to see this girl on my FYP anymore. Oh, my God. I carefully curated my FYP from the bullshit, okay? Please.
I think someone stitched her. So I went to her page, and you know, I'm nosy, so I was looking, and she had a Goodreads page, and she had a Goodreads link. I went into her Goodreads link. She reviewed all the white books, read one black book, did not review it. That let me know right there that no matter what these people say, no matter what they do, she knows what she's doing. If it works for her, let it work. You can't force people to read black books. Black people too. You cannot force people to read black books. There are gonna be some black people who just do not read black books. And at some point, we gotta be okay with that. I have to come to grips with the fact that there are some black bookstagrammers who don't read black romance. You understand? Look at Wig. Wig out there ain't reading no goddamn. I mean, I ain't gonna lie, she's starting to read a little bit now, but still, their audience, it ain't us. And that's fine. We don't, exactly. It's a lot of bookstagrammers, and you have to be okay with seeing these black bookstagrammers page soar and yours page just creep, because you're reading Black books and they're reading white books. Yeah. You have to be okay with that because y'all gonna be fighting for your life, trying to talk to people who don't wanna freaking hear you.
No, that don't wanna talk and they don't wanna do it. And the other thing is on the same side of that coin, we gotta stop asking these people and wrecking them Black books so that they can read the books and talk shit about the book and tear the book up and now everybody mad. We have more than enough Black book talkers, Black pages, Black bookstagrammers, Black booktubers. We have more than enough that solely dedicate their spaces to reading and talking about Black books. As always, find your people. Follow your people. Follow people that resonate with you, that you connect with, that's talking about, rather they're talking about the same. If you are just a person that you're just going to follow Black book pages because they just read Black books, you don't even care the genre, find your people and lead these people where they at. That's it. Because I'm gonna tell you, I had to come to the grips of everybody is not gonna be for us. That includes some of our own people.
Uh-huh.
And we have to reckon with that. So leave them people, including Miss Rum Book Talk. Leave her over there. Cause she's going to stop doing what she's doing for us. Yeah.
That it's just some people, they're just not, they don't want to read that. And like I said, I had to come to grips with that. And it's like, yeah, there's going to be people out there who just read, who prefer white books. I read my white books too, you know, and it is what it is.
Find your people.
It's at least she's reading, right? That's what they say. At least she's reading. Look what she's reading though. But you know, that's on her. And I mean, some of these people who I see stitching the video, I've seen them had some Colleen Hoover books on their page too. So it's like, y'all chill. Who gives a shit? If she want to read Colleen Hoover, let her read her Colleen Hoover books, child.
Find your people. That's it. There are a lot of Black pages on these platforms that would love to follow. Go find them and follow them. And that's it. Instead of going on and on about this girl. Go follow the Black book talkers. Go follow the Black romance book talkers. Go follow the Black booktubers. Go follow the Black bookstagrammers. Go do that and lead them people. That really just be doing this shit for clicks and views, like how we always getting, like early in the year, I said, we got to stop doing this. These people are coming on these platforms, Black people coming on these platforms and talking shit about genres and saying they not going to read it and why is all this.
We had the same thing in February for Black History Month when we was fighting for our lives, trying to tell people that what they have is interracial, and what I done got blocked by many people on TikTok who I said this is interracial and they blocked me. And some people just don't want to learn. Some people just don't give a shit.
And you have to be okay with that. Yeah, and they're doing it at the end of the day. Y'all gotta realize a lot of these people are doing shit for clicks and views and for follows. Lead them people where they at. Can't save every hoe. Some hoes need to be left out in them streets.
She don't want to be saved. Don't save her. And I mean, every day is something. Oh, her wig is bad, though. The wig is bad. You know, Lord Jesus. The wig ain't wigging. We got TikTok wig and Twitter wig, child.
Oh, Lord.
I'm tired. We've been in this for a while, and I already been through this phase. And I'm not knocking everybody who's new and who's going through that phase that I've already been through. So I'm going to just let them be them. But damn. you have to come to the realization that there's gonna be Black people who ain't reading Black books. And we have to be okay with that. Cause I ain't gonna lie, I'm sick of it all my time lag on Twitter.
But we also gotta realize we have to start what's the word I'm looking for? Like, again, as I said, a lot of people are doing this for clicks and views and stuff. So we have to start filtering out the bullshit. A lot of people are doing shit for bullshit. And we have to start filtering those people out. I'm not saying that a lot of shit that goes on in the book community does not deserve conversation. But sometimes some of these conversations are being manufactured. And we have to start learning how to leave some of those conversations in those people alone. Because a lot of people are manufacturing fake, causing fake conversations and fake drama to just get some shit started. You know what I'm saying? And we have to start learning how to filter shit out. And honestly, this girl, y'all could have just left her over there.
She actually just left her over there. Her following, getting
and the more y'all,
and I'm at this type, when you see a bunch of white people agreeing with you,
go in the comment section and you see all that shit, leave her over there.
White okay? women?
Over there.
And you know how I feel about white women after what happened to me today, this week? Mm-mm. I don't trust them as far as I can throw them bitches. At least that one I encountered on Tuesday.
Mm. I don't really rock with them like that, tell you the honest God truth. I just don't.
Not saying that there's some genuine, nice white women out there, but if I'm being honest, it's only 2% genuine white women out there. And if my calculations, the rest of them 98%, I don't trust them.
Until more of them start calling.
And that's the thing.
Well,
situation that happened to me. This woman saw me every day speaking to her about the situation. She even said, I remember your accent. She sat there when that other lady called the police on me because I held her accountable for her incompetence at her own job. And she told that woman, I didn't never speak to her before. And I said, you a bold-faced liar. You a bold-faced liar. I said my accent is the same today as it was last week, bitch.
Ridiculous.
I don't trust them. I don't trust them. And they ain't gonna never. They gonna this woman sit there and I say you a bold. Anyway, I don't even wanna bring that up because I was on a rant on Twitter and I deleted it. And I said, you know what? I'm glad I deleted it because I was in a space where all white women on my timeline was going to be able to get it. So I was like, you know what? I can't really make one person pay. I can't make all of them pay for the other Karen who I dealt with. So I deleted it. But I did get a message from one white woman. I'm not going to put her name out there, but she did say she saw the tweet and she did check on me. So I thought that was nice. So yeah,
that's nice.
That was
nice. But anyway,
but oh Lord, we didn't get caught. But anyway, that's it about y'all, our conversation.
That is it for us. So
we hope you enjoyed our review of India Carter's Captivated by Danger, where Sharonda and I rarely are on opposite sides.
Oh shit. She gonna keep me on the flames. But you know, anyway, I can stand it. I've been through the fire before, honey. I can stand it.
Not no fire like this though, but thank you so much, guys, for rocking with us.
Yes, thank y'all so much as always. And until the next bout of shenanigans.
We will be back next week because we have another book for you guys. So we'll see you next week and thank you for rocking with us.
Bye.
Bye. She's still Judas though.
Bye, guys.
Hey y'all, it's Sharonda. If you're at the end of this episode, well, we thank you so very much. Be sure y'all following us on our socials, Instagram and Twitter at Brazenly Shady. Check out the book or books we discussed in this episode. The deets are in the show notes. And until the next bout of shenanigans, we'll talk to y'all then.